Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and put the call into moderator mode and officially welcome everyone to our Wednesday night product education conference call. My name is Amy, and I'm one of the owners and founders of Platinum Health Products, and we're lucky to have with us David Sandoval, who's an author and a lecturer. He lectures all around the world, actually, and he's written the amazing book called The Green Foods Bible that I hope that everyone has gotten a copy of and has read. And he has been in the health and nutrition industry for probably 20 years now, 20 plus years, and has just a wealth of knowledge that he shares with each and every Wednesday. So welcome, Dave. Are you on the line with us?
I am. And of course, I have been in the industry, I think, officially since around 1986, so I think that's it has been some time. Of course, I always joke around and say, you know, since I was 5 years old, but maybe since I was 10. Anyway, it's interesting, Amy, how the industry has changed. There is a great story that was written in a magazine about that just recently, how 15 years ago, multivitamins and high dosages and mega dosages and nutritional therapies were all the rage. And during that time, people like myself were, you know, telling a different story. We were singing a different song. We were trying to explain that we needed to put more trust in God. We needed to put more trust in nature. We needed to put more trust in our bodies. And we needed to put less trust in this nouveau science of nutritional therapy, of discovering one nutrient and believing it was the only nutrient that mattered, and so loading our bodies up with this single nutrient, not realizing it was creating imbalances within our bodies that might ultimately lead to a greater malady than the one we are trying to prevent by taking these newly discovered, touted, highly distributed, and usually chemically composed and concentrated nutrients. We now know that food is the answer, that our bodies are like a computer that is meant to run on a specific program, and that program is the matrix of nutrients, phytochemistry, that we know as food. And that having been said, we do not practice medicine. We are not doctors. We, in fact, are nothing more than food researchers, and we've gone and continue to go into history, into science, and into personal experiences in order to bring to you what we think is sound nutritional advice, but not based on nutrients per se, but on food and the phytochemistry that is part of food. That having been said, the information on tonight's call has been requested time and time again. Fibroid cysts, endometriosis, uteral cysts, there's a lot of different names for this, but Amy, I think you could contest that it is one of the most highly sought after pieces of information. There's very little in the form of reliable information on these subjects, and we hope to be a source of reliable and accurate information. So we have put together one of our battle plans that will be complete within the next 24 hours and available on the website within 48 hours. And of course, this call will be able to be listened to immediately. So Amy, would you tell everybody, if they would like to share this information, how they can do that effectively? And by the way, I want to welcome you to the show. Appreciate all that you have done, again, to prepare for tonight. And I know that people are anxiously awaiting this information.
Awesome. Well, let's, if everybody wants to grab a pen, if you'd like to pass this information along to a friend, family, or loved one that you think may benefit, you can do that starting tomorrow by having them call the replay line, which is available at area code 212-461-8911. Again, that's area code 212-461-8911. We also will permanently archive the call on our website, which is available at www.phporder.com under the Education tab. And if we have your email address on file, we'll email you out a web link where you can forward that right along to any friends or family members that may be interested. So we hope you share this information with other women that can definitely benefit from the information we're going to talk about tonight. So why don't we jump right into the subject? And the subject tonight, it's a women's subject, but we have a lot of husbands and dads and brothers that care, you know, about the women in their lives. So I'm sure have some men on the line as well. So, Dave, let's jump in, and why don't you tell us exactly what are fibroids? It's a word we hear in the news a lot. It's a word you hear when you go to the doctor, or you hear when people talk about, oh, I have really bad cramps, oh, I have fibroids. But why don't you explain a little bit more in detail what fibroids actually are?
Okay. Well, yeah, there's, I guess, a lot more, and there's a lot more people that suffer from fibroids, I guess, than we probably realize. And Amy's going to tell us more about the frequency of fibroids in just a little bit. But basically, fibroids are also known as myomas, but they're sort of hard growths of muscle cells in the uterus. And they're most common among women between the ages of 30 and menopause. Like I said, they're usually firm, they're spherically shaped, and they often occur in groups. They're described in sizes. Oftentimes people use like rice or peas or even lemons and apples to describe the size of them.
Exactly.
And they grow near the outer surface, again, of the uterus. And they're easily detected during most examinations. So I guess the thing is that these are typically very common. They might cause heavy bleeding, abdominal bloating, or menstrual cramps, even spotting between periods. But depending on the size and position of the fibroid, pain could also be felt during intercourse, and bladder or bowel type of irritations can also occur. So increased frequency of urination or constipation could be, associated with fibroids. But I might be getting a little bit ahead of myself.
What you're saying is non-cancerous. Let's stress that. It's something that affects a lot of women. And it seems like it's a non-cancerous muscle cell, actually, and it usually appears in the uterus.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times the cells are undetected, like we said, but when they are detected, it's usually because it was by accident or because there was pain or some type of other symptom associated with it. So, yeah, I think that they are cells that typically grow in and around the uterus. Typically, they're benign, and they are very, I guess, fairly common.
Awesome. Okay, well then, why don't we talk about endometriosis? Because a lot of times these two get lumped together. If women have, female problems, I have fibroids and or endometriosis. So explain to our listeners what exactly endometriosis is.
Yeah, that's important because, as you said, a lot of times they are confused, but endometriosis is sort of a chronic inflammation and an illness in the reproductive system. It affects women of all ages. Pelvic pain, especially menstrual pain or ovulation pain, is the most common sign, but there's no characteristic type or timing of the pain. It just is pain in general. It can develop at any time of the month, not just during ovulation, as is typical with endometriosis. As is typical with fibroids. And while some women experience no symptoms at all, most feel pain. And again, that's sort of in contrast to the ovarian cysts. And so there is almost always pain during intercourse and bowel movements and other symptoms associated with endometriosis. Endometriosis is a condition in which the mucous membrane or the lining of the uterus begins to grow in other places. And we had talked about that before the show. Should I share some of the background information on how that happens?
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay, what typically happens is with fibroids, these are cells that are in and around the uterus that seem to be estrogen dependent, And when the body has excess estrogen, they just grow and multiply like crazy, okay? When they get hard and grouped together, then you start to notice symptoms because they hurt. Now, with endometriosis, this is typically caused because of an irregular menstruation cycle. And there's these cells, Amy, that will grow inside of the uterus, and then during menstruation, they grow just a few days before menstruation, and then during menstruation, they're flushed out. They're almost like a lubricant and sort of a protection, sort of an antiviral protection within the uterus. However, those same cells, if they're not flushed out because there's no regular menstrual cycle, your body thinks that it's preparing for menstruation, but menstruation doesn't happen for a long time, those cells will creep outside of the uterus. Outside of the uterus, they're not flushed away during menstruation. They're there year-round. Literally, there's nothing to move them away. And so they will grow, and that becomes could become a dangerous situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, again, just to recap, endometriosis is the lining, the inner mucous membrane, or the lining of the uterus when it actually comes outside of the uterus and grows.
Cells that typically reside there, correct.
Exactly, exactly. So, so when you break it down, the differences...
I guess the difference is endometriosis is the result of a progesterone imbalance, whereas fibroids are a result of an estrogen-dependent cell.
Exactly. So both hormone-related, both obviously in the same general area, but one related to one hormone, one related to another hormone. So
the reason we grouped them together is because people needed to know that a lot of the signs and symptoms are similar, but most importantly, the diet that leads to the problem is possibly similar, and the recommendations we make for both conditions is identical. And so we grouped them together just so for the ease of presenting the information and keeping the information separate by putting it together so people see the difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the causes of fibroids, and I know that there's still a lot of uncertainty about the exact cause of fibroids, but some of the things that are known, contributing factors, one would be obesity. Isn't that right? Being overweight.
Oh, absolutely, especially because obesity congests the liver, and the liver is a vital organ, as we were discussing earlier, in controlling the levels of estrogen. Yeah, so very
right.
Good.
Right.
What else might people be concerned with?
Also other causative issues or factors, pregnancy, which can mess with your hormones, I think cause an overabundance of hormones. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, during pregnancy, we produce an abundance of estrogen, and if those estrogen-dependent cells start sucking it up, which they will, we will possibly have a rapid growth and an onset of these fibroids.
Absolutely, as well as birth control, which is going to artificially introduce hormones into the system.
And birth control could be a double whammy, Amy, because it also will throw off your menstrual cycle, at least for a month or two, potentially, and that could cause the endometriosis to have a foothold as well.
Exactly. So hormone imbalance in general is going to be contributing or causative factors for both fibroids and endometriosis, as well as increased stress levels have been shown to be causative factors, as well as overconsumption or consumption of processed food. And I think that's related to the hormone issues as well, right?
Yeah, especially modern-day practice of consuming a high amount of cattle-raised, meat. Farm-raised
right.
or sort of mass-produced meat products.
Right.
Meat has a lot of, but I know you're going to talk about this in a minute, but meat, of course, is very high in hormones, and especially estrogen. So that could definitely contribute, if that's what you were referring to.
Exactly. And then another thing that we found interesting as a causative factor was there happens to be a chemical in coffee or in the coffee bean called methyl xanthan that also can affect hormone levels. Is that correct?
Yeah, methyl xanthan actually contributes to fibroid growth. We don't exactly know why, but it sort of opens up the pathway of estrogen to get into these estrogen-dependent cells. And so it's just like it's too good of a companion for estrogen, so we'd rather that you didn't have coffee if you experience these problems. If you want to starve them, coffee's not the way to do it.
Exactly, exactly. Well, let me cover a few facts that we found interesting about fibroids and endometriosis. And one of them was that most women don't experience symptoms with fibroids. And on the controversy side of that is most women do experience symptoms with endometriosis. So that can that I found kind of interesting. Also,
I think if I could just make a quick comment, I'm sorry. And I think the reason why is because the intra and extra, you know, sort of uteral growth.
Exactly. Exactly. Also, fibroids are most typically discovered by accident, and the symptoms do not always correlate with the size or the number of fibroids that one may have.
Mm-hmm.
Then we found that only 2-3% of women with fibroids ever have it develop into cancer. So there's many women that have fibroids, but it doesn't mean that you are that is a precursor for cancer. So that's a good thing.
And if I could just say that a lot of times it's a quality of life issue, right, Amy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then this was a crazy statistic. Up to 7% of women unable to bear children, the reason is due to endometriosis. I know many women that are looking to conceive, that is a problem, a big problem, so the endometriosis.
Well, we've had a lot of people come to us personally having problems, you know, having babies and bringing that over, you know, as the primary issue. And of course, they're now having kids, so there are solutions. If that's your problem, trust me, we'll give you enough information tonight to get you through that.
Absolutely. And then this was interesting. That kind of shows the wide-ranging or the wide-reaching nature of these two conditions. Is by age 35, 40% of American women have fibroids, and up to 60% of African American women have fibroids. So it looks like it's a condition that hits it hits all populations, it looks like, but it hits the African-American population a little bit harder.
I believe the reason is because of an economic disparity that exists in this country, where more of the lower-quality foods find their way into the lower-income neighborhoods. It is a type of, in my opinion, it's a disparity that needs to be addressed by a social and political process. I think that we need to pay far more attention to the needs nutritionally of inner city youth. There's a lot of brilliant minds there that are literally wasted due to the poor quality of food that they receive. And this is a direct correlation to diet, as Amy will point out in just, you know, in the next part of this.
Absolutely. And then 1 in 10 American women have endometriosis. So these are very expansive. These are very far-reaching issues. So there's definitely, in your group of friends or your family or your group of coworkers, someone in the office probably is suffering from fibroids and or endometriosis. Someone in your immediate family probably is suffering from fibroids or endometriosis. And so I think that's why we've gotten so many requests to do a battle plan or do a conference call on this issue, because it is so widespread among women. So let's talk a little bit about signs and symptoms. We said that a lot of times these things are discovered by accident. A lot of times there aren't too many symptoms, but some symptoms that may cause you to become aware and to trigger that you need to go in and get your annual exam. And that's one thing that we definitely want to stress, is that every woman needs to go in and have their annual exam, because that's the way you find these things early, and that's the way that you're sure that your doctor can rule out that these are fibroids or endometriosis versus some cancerous growth. So just everyone needs to keep that in mind. But one sign and symptom would be heavy menstrual bleeding. Another would be pain during sexual intercourse. Another would be abdominal pain or feeling of fullness when you have not eaten. Frequent urination or like intense pressure on the bladder seems to be a symptom. And also spotting between your normal menstrual period is another sign and symptom that you need to make an appointment with your doctor and have it checked out so you're for sure what you're dealing with. And then it is unusual, but severe episodes can occur. So Dave, can you talk to us a little bit about the case or the instances you read of these severe episodes?
Yeah, actually, I've heard of these occurring during pregnancy. We've heard of these occur when women first take birth control pills. We've heard of these occur in a couple of episodes where the estrogen level, for whatever reason, rises very quickly in the body. And during that time, the estrogen-dependent cells just explode, and they grow so quickly that they actually deplete the ability of surrounding cells to utilize blood and the nutrients within blood, and those cells actually die. And that causes severe cramping in the abdominal region. And so this is something that, this is another reason why people with this condition oftentimes suffer from anemia. And part of our nutritional recommendations, we're going to show you how to reverse anemia to keep the blood flow healthy and to keep, when the increased circulation is one of the most important things to help fight this condition, because we've got some good news and bad news. The good news is that we know what causes them, and we could help stop their growth, and we could, if you don't have them, we could help you change your diet to not get them. The bad news is that there's almost nothing we could do to shrink them or eliminate them. The best that we could hope to do is give you a diet that will soften them, which will eliminate the discomfort and you can live with them, or to direct you toward a holistic technique that has been developed, which can in fact eliminate them, but it's a cutting edge and brand new technique which may not yet be available in your area or a while, for a couple of years. So in the meantime, I want to give you maybe the good, better, and best of how you can deal with this problem.
Well, we always like to talk about in our battle plans what you can do in your diet, what you can do in your lifestyle to make changes to improve these conditions. And would you like me to go down some of the do's on the diet, Dave?
Yeah, I think that we made a pretty good list. Why don't you share that with everybody? Because that'd be great.
Okay. Well, of course, fruits and vegetables, incorporate as many fruits and vegetables as you possibly can into your diet. You want to keep your diet low in saturated fat, for sure. You want to have a diet as high in fiber as possible. And how many grams a day would you recommend, Dave, of dietary and or soluble fiber?
I like around 30 grams of dietary and about 20 grams of soluble as a baseline. You could increase that by 20 to 30%, no problem. But I'm just saying, as a baseline, I'd like to see no less than 50 grams between dietary and soluble per day.
So to get that soluble fiber, we recommend you eat a lot of legumes, which are beans, right?
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me, why don't I go to 64 grams like some people recommend?
Oh, I know. Why don't you?
because we found that when you use soluble fiber, it's twice as effective as dietary fiber. And that's why you and I, as you know, have both emphasized soluble fiber way more than dietary fiber from the inception of this company.
Right, right, absolutely. And so a lot of soluble fiber, again, can be found from legumes, from nuts, from seeds, you know, things of that nature.
Absolutely.
Also, any type of green vegetables, because they are very rich in vitamin K.
Yes.
As well as sea vegetables.
You always want to increase the circulation, and you want to strengthen the capillaries. That's always important in this condition.
And then recommend oily fish, and that would be what, Dave, like salmon or?
But in this instance, while we want people to get omega-3s, I think you and I could strongly agree, I'd like to see them get away from the flesh, which could also have estrogen, and you're getting, yeah, the omega-3s, but let's steer them toward the flax seeds and just have the fish maybe once a week instead of 2 to 3 times a week, and instead increase the flax seeds so that you're getting the, again, what we call phytoestrogens, lignans, and omega-3 fatty acids that are so important to help this condition.
Exactly, exactly. And some of the don'ts on the list are avoid all meat products. And why don't you just take one more moment and just recap again why meat products would be bad in these kind of situations?
Well, meat products do contain a lot of estrogen. They cause estrogen to be sort of overabundant in the body, and that's just not good because estrogen-dependent cells are, as we've said multiple times, the ones that are clearly causing the fibroids. So we just want to avoid all unnecessary estrogen, and you will avoid unnecessary tumor growth.
Exactly, and then as we talked about before, avoiding the coffee because the coffee has the phytochemical in it that...
the methylxanthin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Avoiding fatty foods, avoiding highly processed foods.
Now, explain to people why they want to avoid the fatty foods, because there's a cause and effect there, isn't there?
Right. Absolutely.
With the liver.
The fatty foods actually, right, exactly, work to against the liver, basically, because it's the liver that has to process out all the fats as well as all the toxins that we encounter. And the liver also is involved in the breakdown and assimilation, if you will, of estrogen. And so you want to keep the liver as clean as possible and give it as less stress as possible, I think.
Exactly. So to, like, imagine that you have, let's say you have 3 employees that work in the liver, and, like, typically, you know, 2 of them are working on processing fat and 1 of them is working on processing estrogen. Well, when we have too much fat, the one that's used to processing estrogen goes over and helps the 2 guys processing fat and feels that fat's more important than estrogen.
Wow.
You know, and so, unfortunately, we literally stop the conversion of estrogen, you know, into estriol. And estriol is a very low-level impact estrogen. It does not affect and feed the fibroids. In fact, it does something better. The fibroids absorb it, but they don't get much out of it. And so it's actually a good thing. So your liver will convert estrogen into estriol, which is very low impact on the body, and that's a great thing that your liver does for us. However, when we have too much fat, the liver won't do it. So, Amy, that's a great recommendation.
And also, I just kind of thought of this. Prescription drugs are very difficult on the liver, so if there's any prescription
very.
Drugs, then we're certainly not recommending that you just go off your prescription drugs, but work with your doctor to try to... eliminate any prescription drugs that you possibly can. Also, recreational drugs and alcohol are very difficult on the liver as well.
Absolutely. So, you know, those people who believe that a glass of wine a night is, or 2 glasses of wine a night are good for their heart, that it just isn't right because the toll it takes on your liver. So Let's just be careful with, you know, using statistics to our advantage.
Exactly.
Our advantage.
So some lifestyle things, like anything you can do to support and cleanse the liver. And we want to avoid anything that congests the liver, like we were talking about, drugs, alcohol, fat.
Mostly you're talking about your saturated fats, right, Amy? You want to make sure that you avoid the saturated fats, the heavy desserts, the really quick to digest sort of processed foods. Those take their toll on the liver because it requires the production of hormones and things like that. But, you know, let's get into more of a holistic approach. Why don't you give me our top two recommendations from a holistic standpoint that have nothing to do with food or diet, but have all to do with, say, maybe stress reduction?
Well, we talked about yoga, exercise, Pilates, as a way to reduce stress, as well as reflexology, if you know the right points. Can really help with the liver restoration as well.
Now, by foot reflexology, you could hit trigger points for the uterus, the ovaries, the fallopian tubes, and the lymphatic system. You could do the same thing on your hands, and you could do it through Lomi Lomi, which is a Polynesian intense deep tissue massage, which you could get done at many of the higher-end treatment centers. And I don't mean high-end meaning expensive, but the ones that have
educated massage therapist, exactly.
And so great recommendation on the reflexology for sure, and any type of stress reduction, because when you reduce overall stress, then hormone levels naturally are reduced overall in the body. If all hormones are reduced, then obviously the ones that might adversely affect you are reduced. So very, very good. Now, I don't mean all hormones, period, in the body, but what I mean is those sex hormones, like estrogen and progesterone, when you're in a less stressful situation, they are far less likely to be overproduced. Very, very good advice. And now let's get down to the nitty-gritty nutritional advice, because we've already stated that our goal here is to stop the growth of and to soften the tumors. That's our goal. How are we going to do that?
Well, I also wanted to bring up one thing that usually in the diet and lifestyle recommendation, it's usually on the don't list, but this time it's on the do list, and I want you to explain why. And that is eating soy. That's with premenopausal women.
Ooh, you got me.
Eating soy. So can you explain that a little bit more in detail?
Yeah, well, I don't like soy typically because of a phytochemical called zeaxanthin, which interferes with, not zeaxanthin, I'm sorry. I can't think of the name, so I'll revert from that. But there is a phytochemical in soy that actually, you know, increases the rate at which our cells age. I don't like that. It interferes in some white blood cell activity. I don't like that. And so I typically say, get your, you know, use red clover or use some other phytoestrogen source. But in the case of fibroids, a yam cream and some soy phytoestrogens are actually very much recommended, even at a younger age, for the period of time that you are using to, you know, to soften them up. I don't want it to be continued use. You definitely can increase your use of soy during this time. I strongly recommend it be, as we always do, organic and fermented, because that will take away the dyads. And, oh, there it is.
Yeah, there you go.
That is hilarious how that happens, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
So that'll take away the dyads. And what did I say before? Zeaxanthin? That's a beta carotene. But anyway, And I just think that would be prudent. And so using soy, what I typically recommend that you don't. So obviously there's two reasons why I don't like the soy. One of them is changed when you ferment, when you sprout and ferment, and we want it to be organic so it's not GMO. So the three major reasons why not soy, it's GMO. We could change that by making it organic. We don't want the dyads, and we could change that by sprouting and fermenting. But the phytoestrogens are another thing that are premature, that for the purpose of this condition, they're not premature, they're needed, they're beneficial, they're therapeutic. So we want the soy in this instance. And thank you for calling me out on that. I don't mind explaining myself.
Cool. Awesome. Well, now let's move on to nutritional supplements and what we recommend that you can do to, combat this or combat the symptoms. And one of the things is rice bran solubles. And that is because it, for many reasons, but it has an abundance of B vitamins in it. And we recommend that you take 1 to 2 servings a day. In the first month of this program, we'd recommend 2 servings a day, which would be 12 grams of the rice bran solubles.
And let's give the explanation. This is particularly in the case of those people that have heavy menstruation. If you have heavy menstruation, you're going to be anemic and you will never know it because the doctors won't detect it. So we want to give you the spirulina and the rice bran solubles in combination between the B vitamins and the bioavailable iron and the vitamin C that Amy's going to recommend. Those three things in conjunction are really good at reversing anemia. So the B vitamins are very complementary, right, Amy, for that? And they also contain some really great fatty acid profiles that you also recommend in this program.
Exactly. And so when we're talking about spirulina, we recommend 10 grams a day. And when Dave also mentioned the C from nature or the vitamin C, which is the all-natural source of vitamin C, and we recommend 9 capsules of vitamin C per day. And again, because the vitamin C is very synergistic with building iron in the blood, and it helps overcome the anemia that many, many people with these conditions may suffer. Another very key component would be the flax seeds that we've talked about earlier, because they provide the omega-3 fatty acids from a vegetarian source. And we recommend 1/2 cup of the seeds that you would grind freshly and sprinkle them in, say, a smoothie. You can put it in your green drink. You can put it in a smoothie. You can bake it into muffins. You can...
1/2 cup sounds like a lot, I know, Amy, but, you know, when you grind that down, it's like 2 tablespoons, and it's amazing.
It's not too much, and you can spread it out throughout the day. It doesn't have to all be at once.
And tell people why, if they really want to control tumor growth, why another reason why the flaxseed might be beneficial versus just, say, taking flaxseed oil, which we don't recommend, or eating oily fish.
Well, there's been a lot of research, especially in conjunction with breast cancer research, with lignan portion, which is a fibrous portion, that can inhibit tumor growth just as much, or in the case study that was done, as much as the control
tamoxifen,
tamoxifen, which is a very powerful pharmaceutical drug that has a lot of negative side effects. So,
although it's been a very, 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 how could you say it? It's been one of the most touted and sort of
widely used
drugs. You know, a lot of women have benefited from it. And if you could get the same benefit without the side effects from a natural food, that would be a beautiful thing. But the promise of lignan, as Amy said, as simply being able to help control tumors in your body, is something that is a side benefit. We're giving you the flaxseed for the omega-3, but the potential benefit of the lignan, it's just a bonus.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what the beauty of whole foods are. You get wonderful side effects versus the negative side effects that you get from any other prescription drugs that are recommended today. So that's just one of the wonderful side effects.
Absolutely.
Another thing that we recommend is green food. Whether you take the more greens, whether you take organic barley green juice, organic kamut blend, or best of greens, that the greens can actually help soften the fibroid tumors, and we recommend that you do at least 3 green drinks per day.
Exactly, and this is something else that the omega-3 fatty acids and these things are going to help. So very important.
Absolutely. And then another recommendation is...
Oh, wait, one more thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Tumors are implicitly acidic, correct?
Correct.
And so because green foods are highly alkaline, this will soften most tumors, even if it does not shrink them per se. It can soften them. And I know that's where you started, but sometimes I like to explain the why part of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we talked about that the pain is caused oftentimes because the tumors are stiff. And if they are soft, even if they don't go away, if they remain constant and remain at the same size, if they're soft and more supple, they don't cause the same negative reactions as the stiffer ones.
Okay, pop quiz. Why would something that is primarily fatty be stiff?
I don't know.
Oh, you do know. Hydrogenated oil.
Hydrogenated oil.
Same reason why sperm could no longer swim, because their tails, which are primarily fat and wiggle, are stiff because they're now made from hydrogenated oil instead of good fat that you typically eat. Even cholesterol, what we think is of a bad fat, that makes sperm swim pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Cholesterol is a good little sperm tail. But hydrogenated oil is
it's a horrible
sperm tail and makes sperm swim in circles like a rudder that's been stuck in one position and contributes to infertility. Well, guess what? Guess what's making those fibroids
tumors stiff?
Stiff. Hydrogenated oil. So I don't mean to digress, but sometimes you give me an opening, I'm going to take it.
I think that's awesome, and that, you know, reinforces why you need to cut out those hydrogenated oils and saturated fats from the diet.
Exactly.
Another product on the list is the Herbal Fiber Cleanse, and that is because that will help cleanse and support the liver.
Proper, exactly.
Right, as well as the Beet Juice Plus helps increase circulation, and beet has commonly been known, you know, it's been passed down for probably years and years as a tonic for the liver. So the Beet Juice Plus is also another wonderful product to support the liver, which the liver in turn converts the estrogen, converts the hormones.
And the great part is, the great thing about beet juice is it works in the blood, so it actually supports the liver by lessening the impact on the liver, which is a very holistic approach, you know.
Exactly. And then we have the Women's Defense, and tell us why the Women's Defense would be beneficial.
Red clover, soy, isoflavones. There are 11 different medicinal mushrooms, and I don't mean to use the word medicinal. They are considered medicinal in Chinese medicine. Obviously, they're just food here in America because we don't prescribe drugs. But the bottom line is, this is a product that we made to help women who are going through menopause. And many of those symptoms, the need for certain soy isoflavones and things are similar. So we want to recommend this. It could also protect against for endometriosis. This is probably a stronger, much stronger recommendation for endometriosis than fibroids. So let's distinguish that because this is cancer protective in our minds.
Exactly. Okay, awesome. And then last but not least was aloe vera, and we recommend that when you're first starting out on this program, you probably want to double the label copy, and that would be about 2 teaspoons per day, and then after about a month, you could back it down to 1 teaspoon per day or the label copy. But tell us why the aloe vera would be important in this battle.
Aloe vera is important because of its effect on cell replication, and also because of its ability to increase circulation by 200 to 300%, literally circulation. Imagine if your blood cycles, every 20 minutes, it could cycle every 7 minutes with aloe vera. That's how impactful aloe vera is on your body. With increased circulation, everything's better in your body, including the effect of and the impact of that which softens the things that we know as fibroid cysts or uterine cysts or tumors.
Exactly. Awesome.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, no, totally, totally. So I just want to recap the supplement list one more time before we kind of wrap up here. We recommended the rice bran solubles, spirulina, and vitamin C because that attacks anemia, which is kind of a condition that is...
For those who have heavy menstruation or irregular menstruation, very
exactly,
important.
Due to endometriosis or fibroids. We recommend flax seeds for the omega-3s, which are really greatly important. We recommend green foods, whether it's the organic kamut blend, organic barley, more greens, or best of greens. Three interactions with green foods a day, three green drinks a day to help soften those fibroid tumors and help alkalize the system. We also recommend the herbal fiber cleanse and the beet juice plus as support for the liver, as well as the aloe vera, which is really great for circulation, as you just explained.
Mm-hmm. Now, I did want to note, and I hope everybody will, you might have heard me grunting and groaning a little bit during the call. I did have a knee surgery yesterday morning, and I'm trying not to use any medication, any pain medication. And I'm trying to be a product of the products. I'm taking Joint Flex. I'm taking the aloe and the cherry. The cherry's anti-inflammatory because I didn't want to take the anti-inflammatory drugs they were going to give me. So I'm taking the cherry, the aloe, and the greens as my anti-inflammatories. I'm taking the Joint Flex to help it heal faster. Obviously, the greens and the aloe will help it heal faster as well. And I'm taking the Master Aminos, which are going to stop the inflammation due to water retention. But I have to say that all being wonderful, there's still a little bit of pain.
I really appreciate you doing the call tonight after that and knowing that you're in pain. So thank you. I definitely appreciate it.
So again, I'm not looking for sympathy. It's my choice. They offered me some really powerful stuff. But I just don't want those farms in my diet. I don't want them in my blood. I don't want them in my liver. And, feeling where your tolerances of pain sometimes is not the worst thing in the world that you could do. And so I'm really, like I said, I'm using the products. I believe it's really alleviated tremendously, what is happening in my body. But I just want to apologize if I at times appeared a little bit cloudy or perhaps lost my train of thought. I do apologize.
Oh, don't worry about it at all. I think it was phenomenal. And I just wanted to remind all the women listening again that it is vitally, vitally important to see your doctor at least once a year to have an annual exam, because if you can catch these things early, there's...
I like ultrasound. There's an ultrasound technique, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but before we go, could I give one more recommendation?
Sure.
Okay. A lot of women have been asking me, what's this douche that you've been talking about that softens up the fibroids? And I just remembered the recipe. I didn't want to talk about it before because I forgot my recipe, and I wanted it to be complete, but I remembered what it is now, and if it's okay, I'd like to share it.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. You need apple cider vinegar, and you need some really good, strong probiotics. I recommend our advanced probiotic blend. And then you need a little bit of warm water. Actually, enough warm water for your douche bag. You're going to want like 4 tablespoons of the vinegar. You're going to want to open up 4 capsules of the probiotic warm water, not hot. And then the water should be around 90 to 98 degrees, the same temperature as your body, 95 to 98 degrees. And then I want you to take a tablespoon of coconut oil, and there is well, blend it all up and do a slow retentive douche with that. Retain it until it feels like it's cooling, and then you could drop it. And I would do 2 to 3, maybe 1 hour once a week, and this will cause the pain. It goes away almost immediately, and it will soften the tumors for about 1 week. You could do it more often if you feel the need, or less often if the result lasts longer. But somehow I've been trying to think through the whole call what the recipe was, and I know that there is one more ingredient that you know, that people go, well, you know, it used to be with the olive oil. But the olive oil isn't antiviral. It's not antifungal. It doesn't have the same benefits as coconut oil. So I think that you're going to prefer the coconut oil.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, cool. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up the content that we have prepared for the call. So did you have anything else you wanted to add in summary before we open it up for questions?
Well, the olive oil added omega-6, a lot of omega-6 fatty acids, which are known to soften the tumor, so I don't want to discount that. So I guess you definitely can follow the original recipe with olive oil, or simply add half olive oil and half coconut oil, so you still get that omega-6 effect on the ovaries.
Cool. Awesome.
Okay.
Well, great. Well, thank you for all the awesome content, and thank you for being on the call, even though you're in some pain today. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up and see if we have any questions that we have. Maybe just 3 or 4 minutes for that we can have some questions. Okay. Do we have any questions out there for Dave?
Yeah. What was the ultrasound technique?
There's a couple of techniques, I guess, that Amy and I would like you to know about. In order to make sure that you do not have, internal inside of the, sort of an endometriosis that's climbed inside of the uterus, then there's an ultrasound technique that is used to detect those. And that you could talk to your doctor about. And I also want you to ask your doctor about a new technique that is, of course, a non-surgical,
okay,
but very effective technique. And Amy, would you go into moderator mode while I share that with people so that they could get the full?
Sure, I just did. Yeah.
Thank you. Basically, a new procedure is really good news for women with uterine fibroids. It's probably the best news ever, because with a new technique, they use a catheter, and they go right inside, they insert plastic balls into the vessel that feeds the fibroid, and that cuts off all of the blood. And within just a couple of weeks, the fibroid shrinks like water coming out of a balloon, and a lot of times your body just sloughs them off and takes them out. And the retentive douche that I told you about sloughs off extra cells that through diet we're going to starve, because we're going to – what Amy didn't tell you and I should have told you is that by providing your body with a lot of phytoestrogens, these are very low-level estrogens, and they occupy the estrogen receptor sites in your fibroids. And as a result, they don't get as much estrogen. And while we can't promise you that they'll shrink, we have a high hope of probability that they will. And so when that happens, they oftentimes, their adhesion to each other is reduced. And then by using this retentive douche, you're actually sloughing off, lubricating, and sloughing off the excess cells. And so it is, in my opinion, the most effective holistic technique. Although in all of the manuals that I read that came from, you know, my most trusted medical sources, they warned the physicians not to offer a lot of promise to women that is non-surgical. So I want to tell you that between the diet and the retentive douche, or with the promise of this new procedure, you can, you know, find out that the best part is that the surgery doesn't require any sedation, it doesn't require an incision, it doesn't require stitches, and it's now been FDA approved, and it's for treating fibroids. And again, just to repeat, using a catheter. A catheter, the doctor inserts small plastic balls into the vessel that feeds the fibroid, and it just literally shuts off the door where the blood goes in. They're like little blockages, and the plastic balls are just they're so small. They're just like microscopic, and they starve the fibroids, and this is the most, in my opinion, you're saying, well, you put plastic inside your body. Well, heck, you do that every time that you eat food these days. So there's so many synthetic chemicals, but this is for a purpose. And in my opinion, it's the most holistic approach that I've seen to date, better than the surgery, I'm sorry to go on, Amy, but you know how much we had to talk about this on the radio for years and years, and there's so much information. You know what happens, Amy? Some woman goes, you know, my fibroids are really stiff. They're very painful. And the doctor says, well, let's remove them surgically. Now, when you remove those surgically, Amy, how do you do that without damaging and leaving behind some damaged cells, which could then do what?
Well, you can't. There's always going to be scar tissue from where the incision was made.
Oh, they could become cancerous.
Cancerous.
See, after you have fibroids removed surgically, you are more likely to develop cancerous tumors because you then damage cells, which can replicate artificially and lead to actually dangerous cell growth. And so, so this is a great holistic approach to doing this. It's way better than the surgical alternative, which is why we've been recommending a holistic alternative, because we didn't want people to go in and have unnecessary surgeries. We always are against that. So, again, I may have digressed. I just want it to be complete.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Okay, well, let me open it up and see if we have time for one or two more questions.
Can you hear me?
Any other questions tonight?
Please, I did surgery today for fibroid tissue in my body, and I wanted to know.
Hi, yes.
Yeah, I did surgery. I did today.
Work time in the morning, lady.
And I wanted to know that oil, coconut oil, you said, and probiotic, should I drink it or should I mix it and wash to do douche?
I got about four or five different things.
For a douche, ma'am.
Okay, say it one more time, Dave. I put it into moderator mode.
It is for a douche.
Okay.
And
okay.
Is that dangerous?
Right, so you want to mix it and do it as a douche.
Okay. And what is the probiotic, please?
The probiotic, we have a probiotic called Advanced Probiotic Blend. It's capsules, so you would just need to open up the capsules and put it into the mixture.
Should I order from you guys?
Right, we have a wonderful probiotic blend that in our line of products that you can definitely order if you call customer service tomorrow.
It is the one that I recommend for this. Of course, it is can be substituted with others, but this is the one that I strongly recommend.
Well, any other questions tonight?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, what do you recommend for hot flashes?
For hot flashes, obviously Dung Quai is excellent for hot flashes and night sweats. It's a Chinese herb similar to ginseng, but it is not ginseng, and it's great for women. Also, our Women's Defense has a couple of those same herbs in there that will help with those conditions. But either Dung Quai or our Women's Defense are both very good. Some people have used wild yam cream. Again, that could help.
And we also have a menopause battle plan. If you want to call customer service or check it out on the web, like a full menopause battle plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Any other questions tonight?
Yes, Amy. Hello.
Hi.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Hey, how are you? This is Lucina from Florida.
Hi.
Hi,
Dave. Hey, Lucina. Hello.
I hope you feel better. I know you will. Yes. What I wanted to ask you about the tonsillitis, for someone who has tonsillitis, what do you recommend?
No.
Well, for tonsillitis, you really need to take our Immunomax. Moderator, please, Amy. For tonsillitis.
Okay, there we go.
For tonsillitis, you really want to take the Immunomax. In addition to that, you want to probably take the Virasure. You want to gargle with and swallow the aloe vera. And of course, as always, you want to have, you know, 3 to 4 green drinks a day. The obvious answer is see your doctor as well.
Right. Awesome. Okay. Well, Dave, I really appreciate, and I know all of our listeners, you taking the time to prepare for this call and doing this call, especially under the you know, situation that you're under right now with experiencing pain in your knee. So I think we're going to cut it short on questions to let you get back to resting. But I want to thank you again for being on the call and thank everyone for joining us tonight. And we will be back next week. And hopefully it will be a pain-free week for Dave. And so we just appreciate everyone tuning in tonight. And we look forward to speaking with you next week.
Right. Well, thank you again, everyone, for having joined us. And all questions could be submitted by telephone or email. We will answer you, I guarantee. A lot of questions end up on the Frequently Asked Questions page on our website. Don't be afraid to visit that. It might stimulate additional questions or interest in our products. And again, Amy, great job tonight. Truly appreciate it. And look forward to next Wednesday.
Awesome. The subject of next week's call is going to be for those of us looking to gain weight or to a protocol to actually gain weight. So
that one's for me.
So please tune in and join us next week and check out the website. Or if you have any questions, please call customer service at 888-747-6733 or email us at info@phporder.com. Thanks a lot, and everyone have a great evening.